I'll be reading Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Barnabas and Saul sent off. In the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon of Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
Every day, FedEx sends over 4 million packages to valued customers throughout the world. Their delivery route covers every United States street and services more than 220 countries. In order to send well, FedEx has over 170,000 employees. They have 675 aircrafts, 50,000 ground transportation vehicles, and 1,800 office locations. Somehow, they get things everywhere within 24 hours. And it's an amazing system of delivery. And it makes us think a little bit about the church. We're not in the business of sending packages. We're in the business of sending a message. It's a message to the world. And FedEx makes us wonder for a few moments, how well are we organized in doing this? Are we sending this message out to everyone, everywhere? And the book of Acts tells us about the church in Syrian Antioch. This is a very interesting church. If you've read the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, you know that this is the place where we were first called Christians. That's where it started. The Antioch believers were also very generous people, and they had sent gifts to the poor through Saul and Barnabas to poor people in Jerusalem. So they had a connection with the very city which launched the gospel. And so these people from Antioch cared about the entire world. So in this 13th chapter of Acts, we read about an extraordinary moment when God moved on the hearts of leaders to commission 2 missionaries. It says in verse 1, "Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." When you read that list of names, does it strike you how diverse they are? Because it should. Lucius was from Cyrene in North Africa. Barnabas was a Jew from Cyprus, and Saul was from Tarsus. Simeon was Roman, but F.F. Bruce, in his commentary on the book of Acts, says that he was called Niger because of his dark skin. So in this room, there are 2 black people who are laying hands on Saul and Barnabas and praying for them. Manaen had connections with Herod the Tetrarch, so he had a political background. Thinking about politics once in a while should encourage us to believe that there are folks who are walking with the Lord who are seeking to lead us throughout the world. So this diverse group of individuals meeting together demonstrates how the message of God's love to the world was being reflected in a very diverse way. Now, he's not yet called Paul. Here he's called Saul. Do you remember what this man was like before? In the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, he was giving approval to the stoning of Stephen, the execution of one of God's preachers. And in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, he was journeying to Damascus to round up followers of Jesus to put them in jail in Jerusalem. So are you sensing the change that's taken place in this man's life, that he is in this set of circumstances right now? Changes in people's lives is what we read about in the New Testament over and over and over again. And I have some experience with seeing lives changed. When I was a teenager, I went to youth group every Sunday night. And we had a wonderful group. We had about 15 kids that would get together, and we would read the Bible, and we would pray, and then we would hang out. We had a ping pong table. We had a nice stereo. And so what people would do is they would bring records to play on the stereo. And a lot of the music wasn't Christian music. It was top 40 stuff. One night, I walked in to the youth group meeting, and I had under my arm an album by Jethro Tull. I don't know if you remember the 1970s, but Jethro Tull was a very edgy, hard rock band, nothing like the Eagles or the Carpenters. And as I walked into that youth group meeting with that album under my arm, one of our new guys, Tommy Bryant, looked at me and he looked at the record and he said, "Please don't play that music." And I said, "Why? Don't you like Jethro Tull? I thought everybody liked Jethro Tull." And he said to me, and he said this in the most firm way that you could say it. He said, "I used to take drugs while playing that record. And I've come here these last 2 months and I'm trying to change my life." And dear friends, that's what God's in the business of doing, right? Of changing people's lives. And so I said, absolutely, we won't play this record tonight. And as I watched God work in his life, I thought to myself, our moms and dads would not appreciate the fact that he's here. They would say to themselves, we don't want anyone that's got a history with drugs hanging around with our kids. And I thought to myself, how cool it is that a changed life is right here in this room with us, and it opens the door for us to minister to other people who have been through the problems that Tommy's been through. And you know, that's what we do. That's what the church is about. It's about changed lives. And so you see some changed lives here in this very first verse of Acts chapter 13. Their lives have changed so much that they've become prophets and they've become teachers. And the book of Ephesians tells us that Jesus is the one that calls us to these roles. It says in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So the leaders of God's church are called to prepare God's people to do works of service so that the church may grow. That's what God is in the business of doing through you and me, is growing his church. So how is he going to do that? Well, in the second verse of Acts chapter 13, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. What an amazing God we serve, that he would take this individual by the name of Saul, who had done all these terrible things, and then turn him into a missionary, along with Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. It's important to note when you're reading Acts chapter 13 that these men were both worshiping and fasting. So in the midst of these two spiritual disciplines, God spoke to them. Fasting is something that you can read about in the fourth chapter of Matthew's gospel. It says that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. How would you like to do that? 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat a thing. And so what we read in Matthew chapter 4 is that Jesus was prepared for the devil who would tempt him. And what that teaches us is that fasting helps one to focus on God. It helps us to know God's will for our lives, to understand more clearly how he wants us to respond in certain situations, what he wants us to do and what he wants us to say. And you can see that in the life of Jesus as the devil tempted him. I highly recommend fasting for those of you who are in a physical state where you can do that. I wouldn't recommend it for some people, diabetics and others. But fasting is a way for you to draw closer to God and to hear God speak to you. So this is what's going on here. These gentlemen are hearing from God more clearly what it is that God wants them to do. And as they heard the voice of God, these men knew that Barnabas and Saul were to become missionaries. Over the next few years, these men would travel to many cities and many regions, sharing the good news of salvation. They led hard lives. They led difficult lives. But when you read the book of Acts, you never see Saul, who would later be called Paul, or Barnabas complaining about what they were called to do, because they were called by God to do what they were doing, and so they knew that they were being led by the Lord. Ken Blanchard wrote the book One Minute Manager, which is a great business book, but he's a Christian. He's a follower of Jesus Christ, and he also wrote the book Lead Like Jesus. And this is something that Ken Blanchard said in that book, which I think is very appropriate for what's going on in Saul's life and the life of Barnabas. Called people believe everything is on loan, relationships, possessions, and positions. Called leaders act as good stewards of what has been loaned to them. Have you ever thought about your life? God's given it to you on loan. And so it's a gift from God for a few years. So we're to be good stewards of what God has given to us. We're called, we're chosen, just like Saul and just like Barnabas. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So we are all chosen, we're all set apart. We're all set apart. We're to declare the praises of God, knowing that I used to be in the dark, and now I'm in the light. Remember the words of Jesus Christ, who said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We live in a very dark, dark world, and God has chosen his people to be a reflection of his amazing light. You bring that light to people when you offer to pray for them. Is that something that you do? You bring that light to people when you share God's promises with them. You bring that light to people when you act in a different way than the world acts. I saw a little bit of that light last Sunday. After the worship service, some of our members were providing transportation over to the park for newcomers. And I thought, what a wonderful thing that they're doing. Providing transportation, helping people experience that river baptism that we enjoyed together. So Saul and Barnabas were light. They were different from the world. And so God chose them through the Holy Spirit for the work to which he was calling them. So we read in the third verse of Acts 13, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So this experience of the laying on of hands is something that you see throughout the Bible, and especially in the New Testament. We see this as an aspect of ordination of someone who's coming into ministry, going into missions work. The body of believers comes together and lays hands on individuals on behalf of God. And God's power works through the laying on of hands, touching lives in a very special way. But not everyone wants to be touched. Not everyone wants to step forward. Not everyone's ready to go. Recently, I read about Ira Sankey. Sankey was helping with his father's business and working in a local revenue collector, married with one child, when Dwight Moody ran into him. Dwight Moody heard Ira Sankey sing at the YMCA convention. And in Moody's characteristic, straightforward way, he came up to Ira Sankey and said that he needed to quit his job and join Dwight Moody. I have been looking for you for the past 8 years, he said. But Ira Sankey hesitated to give up the security of a well-paying government job. So the next day, according to one writer, Moody asked Ira Sankey to meet him on a certain street corner. And when Ira Sankey arrived, Dwight L. Moody set up a barrel on the sidewalk, and Moody called Ira Sankey to climb up on that instrument and begin to sing to the crowds that were in the streets walking by. And that's what Sankey did. He sang, and he sang, and he sang. And then all the people gathered around, and Dwight L. Moody got up and preached a sermon. And so from that moment on, Ira Sankey and Dwight L. Moody became inseparably linked together. It was said of Ira Sankey that he sings with a conviction that souls are receiving Jesus Christ beneath one note and the next. He authored the hymn, "I Am Praying for You." Do you know that hymn? "For you I am praying, for you I am praying, for you I'm praying for you." Ira Sankey believed in evangelism, and he believed in the use of his musical gifts teamed with the evangelistic preaching of Dwight L. Moody. And so many people came to faith in Christ because Ira finally stepped out, because the Holy Spirit used D.L. Moody to persuade him. When we read the book of Acts, we see that these two men, Saul and Barnabas, stepped out. They did not limit their journeys to communities within Israel, did they? No, they went to Cyprus, they went to Paphos, they went to Perga, they went to Pisidian Antioch, they went to Iconium, they went to Lystra, they went to Derbe. It reminds us of the commission that Jesus gave to the apostles. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that's the commission that God has given to you and me. We're to go everywhere. But we don't go alone. God promised us a companion. And that companion is the Holy Spirit. We read in the book of Acts, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And sometimes it's just right here. That's what I experienced with Tommy Bryant. He came into our youth group and God changed his life, and he left drugs behind. And that's the God that we serve. The God that we serve changes lives when they come into our lives and we share God's love with them. May we pray. Thank you, Father, for changed lives. Thank you for setting apart people like Saul, who had opposed you and your way, but was converted and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that all around our community, people are awaiting our love to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to leave their old ways behind. And so we ask, O God, that you would help us to be set apart, to be used by you in an amazing way. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your goodness, and for your presence here now as we sing to you in Jesus' name, amen. Our concluding hymn is number 283, "We Are God's People," stanzas 1, 3, and 4. If you have a need for prayer, for healing, we invite you to come to the front, and a deacon or deaconess will pray with you. Please stand.